afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
James Wood.
Okay, Mr. Wood. One moment here, sir. Let's see if we can see who's doing Mr. Wood.
Boy.
Okay. Oh, bless you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. We'll be ready when you are, sir. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will be chairing your hearings to this hold on, sir. We'll be with you shortly so that we get all our paperwork together.
Good afternoon, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Sir, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. But prior to me introducing you to the board members, could you please state your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
James Boyd, 50472.
Sir, conducting your hearing today will be the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's in the middle, who's our board chair. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting conducting your hearing, leading your hearing today, okay?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to go over some information with you. As I go over that information with you, I will ask you if it's correct, if it's if something's not correct in there, and then you can go back over that with me, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been before the board, and you've been certified for absolute discharge from arrest and ready for parole. Is that right?
Yes.
And you are currently currently serving a sentence for armed robbery. That one expired, so it looks like you're on the sentence now for escape second degree. You became parole eligible for that sentence on September 25th of 2018, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so on your inmate release plan, it states that you want to live with your mother, Ms. Linda Boyd. You plan on getting your interstate compact approved to go to Utah. As far as employment goes, you're planning on working as a professional plumber. You have a job lined up ready upon release by Bruce Bell, owner of the company. You have a vehicle ready upon release that you're able to make all of your appointments as well as to and from work. You plan on working full-time to meet your expenses of hiring, food, and clothing. You plan on attending the NA and anger management and stress management programs and counseling upon your release. Is that right, sir?
Correct.
You have no discipline within the last 5 years. Your last discipline was actually in 1999, in April 12th of 1999, and that was a major, it was a disband, a audit. Is that right?
Yes.
So you have appeared before this board in 09 for parole, absolute discharge, and it was denied. And then in August of 09, you had a 412B, and you were granted a 412B, which paroled you to your next consecutive sentence. And then in March of 2012, you appeared before this board again for a 412B, and you were granted parole to your next consecutive sentence. In 2015, you were before this board for parole absolute discharge. That was denied. In 16, you had parole for absolute discharge as well as, looks like a which just can't be really right. It says that April 1st of 2018, they had you down, but you were ineligible at that time, and you're now been up here before this board at this time, sir. So I saw that you do have, according to your age report, that you have taken some training, but I do believe that as a result that there's, you do have a release plan in here, and you do have letters of support, as well as some programming that you've taken since you've been incarcerated, sir.
Yes.
According to the information that we have and the pre-sentence report that we have, sir, this is an incident that occurred on November 1st, 1983, at approximately 4 a.m. Employees of Cafe Casino, 84824 North 24th Street, found the restaurant to be unlocked. They discovered the body of the night manager, age 22, in the walk-in freezer. He was found seated against some rocks with his hands behind his back, tucked into his belt. He had been shot once in the head the following day on November 2nd. Tempe police officers who had been investigating the theft of a 357 revolver advised Phoenix police that have been a former of Cafe Casino and had recently been unemployed, but had suddenly come into a large amount of money. About 3 days later, on November 4th, officers interviewed a gentleman. At that time, the gentleman stated that you guys had been at a bar drinking the evening of the murder, and that he had taken you over to the restaurant where this incident occurred, the Cafe Casino, a restaurant that you had went inside by yourself and came back out. Subsequently, on November 4th, you were arrested in Birmingham, Alabama, and the police found $394. Only at the time that they arrested you. Sir, is that about right of what happened?
Yes, this is for you.
Okay.
What happened?
What I am going to ask you, Mr. Boyd, if you could, in your own words, tell this board what transcribed, what occurred, what was going through your mind when this incident actually happened, what was going on, in your own words, sir.
At that time, I was estranged from my wife and child. I really, you know, did not drinking and using drugs with different people. And the idea was to try to use money and get out there and try to reunite with my wife and child at that time.
So what happened when you went over to this restaurant, sir?
We went over to the restaurant with the intent to rob it, and I went in. Took the money from the safe, took Mr. Herte into the walk-in freezer, and shot him.
Was he resisting, or what happened? Why did you shoot him?
Because he knew who I was.
Uh-huh. Did you guys have a conversation while you were inside of there or what?
No, I basically was just trying to get the money and leave.
Uh-huh. And then what happened after you got the money?
Me and the guy that was with me, we went to a hotel or motel in Mesa. We bought cocaine and alcohol, and then the next morning I flew to Alabama.
So did you know someone in Alabama, or why did you go to Alabama?
That's where my wife and daughter were.
Uh-huh. So did you tell them when that occurred?
No.
So after that occurred, you were also involved in an escape. What happened in that incident? Where did that occur at?
I started a police sentence that was sent to Alhambra. At that time, all the inmates that were going to Florence were all put into one specific area of Alhambra. And when I got there, there were several inmates that were already involved in an escape. And I was asked if I wanted to go, and I did.
Okay, so what happened during the escape?
I got out. I knew it and stayed in the
said about the actual murder at the restaurant, you said we, so who was involved in that? Was it just you, or was someone else involved in it with you, or what?
I'm the person that committed the murder.
Okay.
And I know that both of us went in, and I know that his testimony or statement had been that he never did, but the fact is we both went in, there's no reason for me to make that up at this point, but I have to stick with the same story I've always told every time I come to the board.
Okay. So,
and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when we went in and got the money, and I took Mr. Herge by myself to the border and shot him.
Okay, but when you were originally arrested, you know, denied doing the shooting, and you blamed it on Mr. Foyer?
Yes, I, at that time, I would have probably said anything to try to get out of trouble.
Okay, well. So I say that since you have been incarcerated, sir, I noticed that there's letters in here from your mother, your sister, your brother-in-law, your brother, your sister, your nephew. You have several letters of support that's actually in here to go along with what you actually have here. I also see some certificates and some college information where you seem to have been pretty active and have a pretty good plan since you've been incarcerated. So what has changed since you've been incarcerated?
At a certain point, I just really began to take personal responsibility for my own actions, the direction of my life, and where I was headed. This process began for me well before I even anticipated receiving parole, but in 2009, when I did get my 312B hearing, it really changed the direction of my focus at that time, too.
So, have you been doing any drugs or drinking since you've been incarcerated?
In the first few years that I was incarcerated, I did. I haven't done any of that. No drinking, but I did some drugs early on in my incarceration.
And if you were released from home arrest, I know I do have your release back. What would you plan on doing if you were released, sir?
Well, but like my friend said, live with my mother. I'm not sure what I can or cannot do on home arrest. I'm not really clear on that, but I would work and just try to do my, you know, pay all my expenses and take care of myself.
And I thought I saw in there that you wanted to get interstate contact to Utah?
Correct.
So why would you want to go to Utah, sir?
Because that's where my mother lives, my sisters live, my uncles live.
So do you have any relatives here in Phoenix, Arizona?
No.
You don't have any relatives here in Arizona, sir?
No.
So, Mr. Boyd, since you've been incarcerated, have you saved up any money?
I have saved a little bit, not a lot, but when I was in Colorado for almost 13 years, I learned how to tie flies for fly fishermen, and I did that for a few years while I was out there, and my mom has opened a bank account, and we put some money in the bank.
So you want to interstate contact to Utah, so have you been checking into it or doing anything to see what it takes you to get interstate contact, sir?
Yes, I know that I have to pay the fee for the Department of Corrections to do the interstate contact process. We've looked into a lot of resources in Utah through my mother's church and my sister's organizations out there, and so we have multiple plans to address the challenges and issues that will present for me when I get out, but in actually really know when that could or couldn't be, so I think that, you know, with the job plan that I have now, and since I wouldn't even get out for another 5 months, if grant parole gives us a really good opportunity to focus in on multiple plans for employment, counseling, and other issues that may arise.
All right, so I'm gonna see if the board has any additional questions for you. Do you have any additional questions? So I assume the board has no additional questions for you. I do see that you have some supporters here who are here to support you, sir. Been here all morning waiting to hear from you. I'm going to ask them to come up to the podium. Please just state your full name and present what information that you'd like to present to the board. I'm going to let you pick what order that you'd like to come up in and speak. Stay here on home arrest with you and your family be able to assist to help them?
Yes. Yes. We're prepared for that. I mean, I already, you know, have certain monies that I spend every month. Some which will go away with Jimmy living with me because he would assume those duties, yard work and things like that, but I'm not able to do. Monies that I send, you know, for him each month would be reverted to the home. And then the full expectation is that he would be able to work. There was someone that will take him and train him and allow him to work with him.
So if he had to stay here in Arizona, would you be able to help or support him?
I could, but I don't think that would be in his best interest. I believe he needs to get out of Phoenix, where the chance of him running into people that he has known previously would be lessened. If he stayed in Phoenix, he'll have to, I have no experience with this, but I would assume he'd have to report to a parole office somewhere and attend certain meetings, and he would be possibly meeting people that would be better for him not to be around.
Okay, so if the board has any questions, Ms. Moore? Okay, thank you, Ms. Boyd.
My name is Debbie Callahan, and I'm the older sister of Jim. And I, too, don't know what else really to say other than what I put in my letter of support. I live approximately 5 minutes from my mother. I have my son and his wife that live close, and my husband that lives with me that is close for support. We have, you know, even if we have a large enough home that he could actually live with us if he needed to. We've been in our home for 18 years. We have a lot of support in the community and the town that we live in. And we are fully committed to my mother and my brother if he is released to Utah. I think being paroled to Arizona would make it more difficult for our family, which I know is not your concern, but to do the most possible for him would be to get him to Utah. Thank you, Jimmy.
Go ahead, any questions?
I don't have a question without, just let's say this, you know, I mean, that would, getting him to Utah, that would be something that you would have to work out with the Department of Corrections. We would not have that, interstate compact that you would have to go through, and that would have to be approved by both Arizona and Utah to get him there. But I guess I'm asking you, since you're here at this moment, same thing that Mr. Johnson has already asked. You don't see the possibility of his being in Arizona. Do you think that Arizona just would not be appropriate for him based on what you know at this time?
I just think it would be better for him to be surrounded by family members that are supportive of him and not being alone in Arizona without our support, whether it's monetarily or if it's just, you know, morally or helping him with classes or whatever he needs to do.
I just wanted to say that because that's something that, you know,
it's impossible.
Yes.
It just would be perfect.
But you would have to go through the interstate compact, as you know, and he knows, and I think the rest of the family is aware of that, so that's a process that you would have to go through with. But thank you so very much.
Thank you. My name is Todd Boyd, and I'm the youngest sibling. And what I'd like to say in support is that I don't want anyone to think that we haven't forgotten the crime that he's committed and the type of person that he was and how many years that we really went without speaking to him or having any type of interaction. And just like the rest of society, as we've seen him begin to progress and change, we've tried to participate in that and encourage him to do the right things. And I think that we've seen someone who's been very proactive in his own care, trying to take responsibilities for those actions. I think without trying to restate what my mother said, you know, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. 35 years in prison, you know, you don't pour oil out of a can anymore. Life has changed. The family's ready to step up and try to do the things that they can. Understanding there could be a lot of difficulty in whatever the paperwork is or the work that has to be done to have somebody move from Phoenix to Utah or Arizona to Utah. It's something that I know that the family's willing to do their best to get through those hurdles to make these type of things happen. I've been in the government service for many, many years, and the one thing I do know about the government is that even when you're told no, there's usually another way, there's another process, there's another regulation to read and interpret, and to try to move forward with those things that are best for you. So, with that, that's pretty much all I got. Any questions by the board? Thank you, sir.
my name is Zach Boyd. I'm Jimmy's nephew. Unlike the previous people you heard from, I've only known Jimmy for the last 6 years. He and I began a relationship 6 years ago when I was a student, and I had reached out to him because I had some questions about the Arizona Department of Corrections, and it was related to some research I was doing at the time. And he responded to me and helped with the questions that I asked, but also had basically asked to talk to me about some personal spiritual matters he was working through. This was shortly after the Purdy family had expressed concern for him and reached out to him to touch him and spark some questions. And so anyway, Jimmy and I have had a number of conversations, and his feelings about his past and where he wants to go are clear to me based on those conversations. In the 6 years since then, he's been wonderful to my family. I mean, my three children sleep in blankets that he made for us. Our house is adorned with paintings and portraits that he's made for us. And I've flown out 3 times to visit him. I'm happy to be part of this support network when he comes out. I don't live in Utah at present, but almost all of my family lives there, so I am in town quite regularly, and so I'm just here as part of the support network and to express my willingness to help him and my conviction that he's really, really improved a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Boyd, we're starting to come up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Are there any victim supporters there? Okay. Sir, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. I want to give you the opportunity to say anything to the board that you haven't said without repeating yourself. I did have a couple more questions for you, sir. Prior to this incident occurred, you were involved in several vehicle thefts, is that right?
Correct.
So, were you just into selling the vehicles and selling them to undercover police officers, or what was going on?
It was just part of the same behavior at that time. I was just trying to get money in the wrong way, and it wasn't something like I was real organized, and I don't think I ever got away with it.
Were you on probation at the time this incident occurred?
No.
Okay, so the boy's going to go into discussion. I'm going to see if the boy has any additional questions before we go into discussion. Dr. Wright.
Yeah, just one question. Mr. Boyd, back to the incident offense itself, the reason that you've been a guest of the Department of Correction. What were you doing in Arizona at that time? So what were you doing here?
At that time, my parents lived in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And, actually, my brother lived there. The parents lived in Arizona. They were my father worked for I can't remember, but some company, aerospace company in Phoenix.
Okay. Well, you had a good reason for being here. What went wrong, sir? Forgive me for asking it that way, but you know, you have such a wonderful family. We can see that there, and I'm assuming that the rest of your family was, you know, same way that they were raised. So what happened to you, sir? Why did you end up in going in criminal ways, sir?
I just started drinking, and that led to drugs, and I was just really immature. I was trying to find where I fit in, and I wasn't doing the things that I should have been doing as far as listening to my parents. And, you know, I left home at an early age. I'd already been out and in trouble, and I came to Phoenix to try to get my life together, but just really wasn't prepared to take responsibility and be a responsible person at that time. You know, I don't really have excuses because all of my life I've been raised better, and my siblings are great people. They've all done wonderful things with their lives. It's just, for some reason, I just never really fit in when I was young, and I was searching for something else, and it led to drugs and violence, which brought me to prison at an early age.
Thank you so much, Mr. Boyd. Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Noel, do you have anything?
No.
So, Mr. Boyd, if you were granted home arrest and had to stay in Arizona, would you be able to do that, sir?
I would be able to do it. I think, I know that my family and all expressed that the best place for me is in Utah, and I believe that the primary concern that everyone has, and it's something that had been discussed previously at board hearings, is because of my debriefing with the Aryan Brotherhood, whether or not being in Phoenix might actually put my life in danger if I were to run into the wrong person reporting to parole or going to programs that I would be required to do in Phoenix. You know, it's something that I'm prepared to do. I could do it. It's not that, you know, there would be issues with me getting in trouble or associating with the wrong people. I think that the issues that they're expressing is, you know, in previous hearings, the board members have even commented that it probably would not be best for me to remain in Phoenix because of those issues.
Okay, so this board has no control over whether you get an interstate compact or where you go, so. But the Department of Correction does require that if someone's released on home arrest, they gotta have 2 months of living expenses, 2 months of where they would stay and have that down, or else the Department of Correction won't release you. Sir, are you able to do that with the support of your family?
Yes, I would be able to.
All right, so Mr. Boyd, the board's gonna go into discussion. So a lot of boards have discussion. I am going to ask you to stay on the phone. I will to remain silent while you're on the phone. As the board's in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to grant or deny you parole at this time, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Boyd is, the board's in discussion. Mr. Boyd has been incarcerated for a good number of years. He does have quite a bit of family support that are down here from, I believe most of them are from Utah, that are down here with them, and he's been incarcerated. Since he's been incarcerated, he has managed to keep himself out of too much trouble. He does have letters of support that he has in his file that he has here. Most of his discipline that he had, his last discipline was at 99 and 98, but since 1999 he hasn't had any discipline, and he's been programmed. He's taken quite a bit of programming since he's been incarcerated. He does have a release parole package here that we do have here with him, in which he has taken a number of classes, including certificates that he's received from Rio Salado College, along with certificates he's taken anger management, stress management. He's also done some things with Maricopa Community College. He has been doing quite a bit of program. He obtained his GED while he was incarcerated. He also got the DOC reentry certificate. He's taken 3 lessons in anger correspondence and anger management. He has almost 2 sheets of classes and program that he's actually taken since he's been incarcerated. He hasn't been in any trouble this incident that occurred while he was drinking and intoxicated. He worked at a restaurant, went into the restaurant and robbed the restaurant, and during the process of robbing the restaurant, he shot and killed the owner of the restaurant, and was later apprehended. And he does have an escape charge that he has here on his file. He says that when he was arrested and went to prison, there were some people already planning to escape and ask him if he wanted to be involved in that, and he said, he said, yeah, and he got involved, and he did escape for a few days before he was actually apprehended and returned back to jail. At this time, I'm not opposed to releasing Mr. Boyd to a home arrest. However, I do have some concern about him having no relatives or time here in Phoenix.
This isn't a police hearing yet. It's a consecutive sentence. He goes back to the life sentence and has to have another parole hearing before he can be released.
I think he reverts back. He's on his last sentence, and he's been incarcerated for about 35 years, I think. And when he's released, if he goes on parole, then he goes on parole for his life sentence. He reverts back to his life sentence.
This is a consecutive sentence hearing, which means you go from this last sentence that he's on. Consecutive to that, it always reverts back to the life sentence. Then you have to have a parole hearing for the life sentence before anything can be done with it. And it even up at the top, it's currently serving the AO3, and if granted, will revert back to life sentence. Which, you know, he can't be released at this time.
Well, if he gets home arrest, then his home arrest would be on the life sentence.
But this is not a hearing for a life sentence. This is a hearing for the sentence he's currently on, which is the last one, the AO3.
Right, it is the AO3.
Right, that's the sentence. But it reverts back to the life sentence.
It reverts back to the life sentence.
But you have to have a hearing for that life sentence to do anything with that life sentence.
Well, he had a hearing for the life sentence, and he was paroled to his next consecutive sentence from there.
Yeah, right.
But he doesn't release that.
So that's no release.
Right.
And when this hearing, if you give him a consecutive sentence, it goes back to the life sentence. That's what Mr. Heat was talking about in her training.
Okay, I do understand it goes back to the next consecutive sentence, but he's been certified for absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. If he's granted home arrest, then he would be on home arrest, but the home arrest would be for the life sentence. If he violates this home arrest, then he gets back, he goes back to prison on the life sentence, not the sentence for...
Okay, well, this is an ample discharge or consecutive sentence. Not a regular parole. Not home arrest. Not anything but absolute discharge or parole in that consecutive sentence.
I know, but there is a sheet in here with a correction that says that he is, that Mr. Boyd is for a 31-512-A, 411, a home arrest type hearing, not a 412-B, a 411.
Okay.
That's why I said that's in there. We've been having some confusion coming from time comp with exactly what's going on, but
that's why I don't work in time comp. Okay.
Because the time comp certified them incorrectly the first time, and so that's what we have him certified to. But if he gets home arrest, he will go on home arrest. He then reverts back to the life sentence. So that if he's on home arrest and he violates while he's on home arrest, then he goes back to prison to finish serving out that life sentence.
Yeah, I will look that.
Yeah.
I will look that kind of update.
Since this was mentioned, let me ask this. Let me just throw this out. What you're talking about now is placing him on home arrest in Utah. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about home arrest in Arizona?
He would have to go on home arrest in Arizona. It's up to him.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. I think be very clear that we're talking about Arizona. If you're talking about home arrest, we're not talking about Utah.
Right. He doesn't become parole eligible until September 25th. Of 2018 is when he becomes parole eligible. So we granted him home arrest. He wouldn't be eligible for the home arrest until then. And it would be up to him to work with the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office to get an interstate compact. If he doesn't get an interstate compact, then he has to stay here in Arizona and complete his
his parole, but that's up to the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office, whether he's going to be granted parole to Utah. We certainly could not, at this level, grant him a parole to interstate compact to be paroled to Utah. That's something that he would have to put the paperwork in and begin working on himself.
Right. Yeah, so if we went to home rest, it's for here. Hopefully that time to do interstate compact before the actual eligibility date. But that's up to him.
That's not only up to him, that's also up to Arizona and Utah.
But he's got to
make the case. Because if he's going to be on home arrest in Utah, then Utah is going to have to accept him on home arrest, not on parole,
right,
which is a difference.
Right.
But it's up to him to make the application. And then
yes, I really have to him to make the application. I'm not going to have to put here, but he and his family, they would have to make the application. Yes, sir.
Clear as mud.
So, you know, based on all the information that we have in the packet that we have here for Mr. Boyd and his current situation, I am not objected to placing Mr. Boyd on home arrest. However, if he's placed on home arrest, he would, you know, do home arrest here in probably Arizona. Any interstate compact information that would come along that line would have to come from the Department of Corrections as to what will happen, but he'd have to make those things knowledgeable on his own. I know the family said that it would be bad for him to stay here, but this boy has no authority in which to place him on, and he can come back before this boy after if he's determined to get on that. But at this point in time, we have no authority either way. To place him on the interstate compact. That's strictly up to him, the family, the Arizona State Board of Arizona Board of Corrections, Parole, and Utah, if, whether there's a interstate compact that could be completed on his behalf.
But as you stated, a board member, it was not me, but a board member, you know, was concerned about his being here in Arizona because of his STG. Because he debriefed from that STG, and that's one reason, I think, as a family member just indicated a few moments ago, that they would want him to be in Utah, because STGs, the assumption was that STGs just don't forget. And, I mean, go ahead with the motion. I just want to, you know, so that's one reason that was, you know, discussed, I believe, in the past. By a board member at that time, but that, you know, because that is a, I don't know whether they were talking about him or somebody else, that I can't figure out. Either in Ames, which, you know, if you look at Ames, what was put in there, and John said that was him, it's not his initials by no means, but it's, but it does say, I'm assuming that they're talking about Mr. Boyd will be a top priority for the, AB to assault or kill, but I'm not sure whether they're talking about him or somebody else. You know, I mean, we have to be concerned about him as well, his welfare as well. But I think, as much as he raised that, we did not raise that today, but he indicated that had been
an issue.
Previous discussion. Yeah.
So. He doesn't become parole eligible until September.
Yeah.
Right. To give him time to work on it. The only the concern that I have that if he's not able to get a interstate compact, but there's nothing in his release package that talks about home arrest and being able to stay here in Arizona, everything is referred back to Utah, and there's no release plan for if he has to stay here in Arizona. That's that is a concern that I actually have. It concerns me about the situation with Mr. Boyd at this time, because he could have to go into a halfway house or something here, if he was released here. I know his family had said they would help financially support him until he's able to get on his feet. Doctor, can I just go out for a minute out of discussion to ask you another question? Mr. Boyd?
Yes, sir.
So, if everything you have is based on trying to get an interstate compact to go to Utah, have you tried or made any arrangements to look into getting an interstate compact prior to your being released, sir?
Yeah, I've had extensive conversations with the Department of Corrections, my CO3, the deputy warden here in this unit, and I mean, that's really been the focus. We didn't really focus on possibly being in Arizona because everybody seemed to agree that the best idea for me was not to be in Arizona. I mean, if the decision of the board is to throw me and because I'm placed on house arrest, I have to stay in Arizona, then that would be a focus that our family together would address, and we would be able to manage that. I believe if I get out on home arrest here, I can work out the interstate process from parole services. And I've also talked to parole officers when they do cross-level training here in the unit about that. So the reason we didn't really address that issue, I didn't know I had to be on home arrest in Arizona and that I couldn't be placed on home arrest in Utah. I thought that the Department of Corrections could do both.
What do you mean both?
That you could release me on home arrest and they can interstate transfer me to Utah and have me placed on home arrest in Utah.
Yeah.
I thought I had to pay for those services.
Well, sir, that's a process that you have to go through. There's a fee and an application that you have to go through. The parole office here has to contact the parole office in Utah.
Correct.
They have to make an interstate compact, go back and forth. Utah has to go and contact the place where you would be living at to make sure that that would be acceptable to them, and then you would be placed on. So there's a process, sir, that you have to go through in order to get an interstate compact. This board has no ruling on whether you can get an interstate compact or not. But that's a process that you have to put in place along with your family to do it. It could happen, but it's something that you have to put in place and be able to do. It's not a decision of this board to be able to do that.
I understand that. That's why we've had extensive conversations with Department of Corrections personnel on this issue right here.
Okay, so the board's going to go back into discussion. And while the board's in discussion, sir, I'm still going to ask you to remain silent while the board is in discussion. I do understand all the issues that we have the opportunity to discuss. I'm going to tell you after concluding all the discussions that we have actually had here, and for the best interest of the state of Arizona, as well as Mr. Boyd, as well as the citizens of the state of Arizona, because there is no plan, anything set aside if he has to do home arrest here, or if there hasn't been any plan made to whether he will be granted interstate compact, or what that process would actually be if he was to be granted an interstate compact. This incident occurred, I believe, was in 1983, I want to say. It occurred in December of 1983. So, made some minutes before a 1 year set off. I think I'm just leaning more toward denying him home arrest, absolute discharge, and regular parole at this time until he can come up with a better release plan that he has. I mean, it's good for Utah with this, although he doesn't get out until September. There's just no information in there that's in there for that, but I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board.
I think that would just be one of the considerations. I wouldn't want to put it quite the way that you put it, Mr. Johnson. The reason for it is that there is no guarantee that if he came up with a plan that the board would grant him that in 6 months. But I would agree that if the board if he would come back for the board in 6 months, he's heard what the board has discussed with his family, then they can do what they feel is necessary. But we don't want to put any guarantees in there, because we don't know who's going to be on the board in 6 months, and even those who may be on the board today may be the same ones, but they may think different by then. But I think that in as much as this has been discussed, it's given everybody something to think about and to work on.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Wright. We cannot guarantee, and if I gave that indication, I certainly didn't mean
maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I just wanted that to be clear. Yes, sir, but because it...
Mr. Neal?
I'm in agreement with that. It's the release plan has got too many ifs in it at this point in time. And with that, you know, being said, I agree with Dr. Wright. We don't know who's going to be here, so there's no guarantee. But at this time, I don't think that the release plan is quite solid enough to convince me we should grant the home arrest.
All right, well, I'm going to make a motion at this time. My motion at this time is going to be to deny absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest to Mr. Boyd. That's going to be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agree.
I'm not going to ask this question ever before when it gets set off. I'm going to mark the reasons for denial that it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm going to mark prior criminal history as there were several car thefts that he was involved in. I'm not going to mark lack of program he does have a good a release plan and does have family and community support. I'm going to mark on the other, and I'm just going to mark no Arizona release plan, if that's okay. Loss of human life, prior criminal history, and no Arizona release plan. Those are your reasons, sir. I hope that you were able to hear and understand the conversation that was taking place amongst the board. Sir, you will be certified eligible to come back for this board on about 6 months from now, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. I want to take the time and opportunity, Mr. Boyd, to thank you for participating in your hearing at this time. I want to thank those family members. I know some of you have come from a long ways and sat here for a long time to participate in this hearing today. I hope you could hear and understand the conversation that the board was having as to what we feel, at least I'm going to speak for myself, some of the issues. There's no guarantee that when he comes back before this board in 6 months that he would be released, but he would be certified eligible within on or about 6 months from now to come back for this board for another hearing, which, you know, given the opportunity, which is not far from the time that his actual eligibility for parole is not till September anyway, so it would be within a couple of months when he would be eligible, with him, after him being eligible for parole. So again, thank you for taking the time and opportunity for coming out here and participating in the hearing today. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time. Mr. Boyd, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.